15 more before we get there. But if you didn't listen to Wednesday nights, you need to listen to it. Even if I did do it myself, I think it was pretty good. Well, I appreciate that. Plugged up. Plugged up. What is that? Well, I bless your heart too, honey. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. Eh? Good idea. Where's Bob when we need him? He's in Louisiana. He's in New Orleans. Yeah, he's in New Orleans. Turn that one out of there if you want to. For work. There we go. Okay. Second Peter 1. I know it gets a little crowded, and there's only one little air conditioner vent down here, so bear with us. 2 Peter 1. Let's go ahead and read this. Up here. All right, everybody ready? Can't read it while you're talking to somebody else. Simon Peter, and a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So he's not talking to the world. He's talking to me and you. All right? He's talking to the ones that are born again. So this has nothing to do with the outside world. This is kind of like marriage and divorce. It has nothing to do with the outside world. Because we're going to read here in a few minutes where Brother Branham said that you can have a portion of these virtues and not even be born again. Can everybody see that from this side, Joyce? You can see it okay? All right. I know maybe Danny's having a little hard time seeing it. Is that better? You got it?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So this is what he's talking about. Life and godliness. All right? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us. Remember, we don't call ourselves. He calls us. To what? Glory and virtue. Whereby are given. So they're gifts. These are gifts that God wants to give you, but he doesn't automatically give them to you. Right? And it's not that you have to earn them. You have them with you when you get the new birth. But you have to do what we're talking about Wednesday night. You got to exercise them. You got to use them. All right? And we'll read in just a few minutes what Brother Brown said about that. You got to make yourself available for God to work those virtues out through your life. All right? And remember one thing. If you're born again, you're born again. If you're born again in faith, you're just as eternal as God is. But God does, see, that's, God requires that you go further. He requires that these babies grow up. He doesn't require that they stay babies. He requires that they grow up. Right? He don't want them to stay babies. Sure, we want the little cute things to stay babies and do little cute things, but you know what? That's not normal. So we want to be normal Christians. As it pertains to life and godliness, all right? Whereby are given unto us exceeding. In other words, all. great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's your new birth. That's the thing that's changed you from what you were to what you are now. It's like I was saying Wednesday night, you can hate me or you can love me. If you don't go to church more now than you did 6 months ago, you're backslid or lost, one of the two. That's what the Bible says, not me. That's what the Bible says. So you can pretty much check your own self up. Brother Brown said you know where you're at with God at any moment. Well, you know what? If you miss church about 3 or 4 times a month, you'll know that you're either lost or backslid, one of the two. All right? And that's not my words, that's his. I didn't bring that today, but I'll sure bring it and read it to you. And besides this, see, besides the new birth, besides receiving the divine nature of God to change you into a son of God, to make you a son of God and daughter of God, and besides this, giving all diligence. See, that's what I mean about being diligent. There's two D's, dilatory and diligent, and they're totally opposite. I think in Laodicea we've become dilatory, not diligent. Because diligent would make you see things in a different light, all right? And besides this, giving all diligence, add to what you believe, right? Add to your faith. Because it's only what you believe, all right? Add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith knowledge. I'm not adding to the word. Right? Because it's adding to the new birth. It's not you get all the new birth that you need, but then there's little things that, like Brother Brown said, remember he preached before this, he preached the key. The key was faith. The door was Jesus. Read the book sometime or listen to the tape, Doors and Doors. Because you walk in the front door of the house, meaning you're born again, you walk into the front door of the house, open the door, and you walk in. But now there's certain rooms in there. You know, we have 4 bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms, and those of you that's been there, we got several doors. But you know, having several doors, we can, we started early for your sake so I could talk about you. So, hey, Brother Kern, how you doing, brother? Good to see you. Lord bless your heart. And if you could find my thought that I was just saying, doors. Thank you. I knew that somebody picked it up. Somebody's paying attention besides me. House, you walk in a house, you got doors. Now, Brother Brown preached doors and doors. God walks up to one door and you say, no, you can't come in that door. Why? There's something behind it you don't want him to see. And remember, the doorknobs are on the inside. They're not on the outside. He's not going to, remember, Brother Brown said one time, and it really struck me. He said, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He's not overbearing. He's not overpowering. Sure, he empowers you and gives you power, but he's a gentleman. You do something wrong, Brother Bram said, the Holy Ghost will go out on a limb. Now, that doesn't mean he goes out of you and goes over here. What he does is he's going, hey, till you behave, I'm going to go right out here for a minute, and when you get all your stuff worked out, I'm going to come back. That don't mean you lose your Holy Ghost. And you, does everybody understand that? You don't lose. You can't lose the Holy Ghost if you're born again. But you can grieve it. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you're sealed. So you can grieve it away. Brother Bram said, you have to ask him to come back. Same thing with the door. He's not just going to come, you know, going through a door and just open the door and come. No, he's going to go, you mind if I come in? You mind if I come see you? Okay? That's exactly what these virtues are. They're doors and doors. Because look, that says right there, tabernacle. Well, inside tabernacle, you got doors or you got skins, badger skins. You know, they had skins before they had doors. So it was badger skins. Had it covered up. Now we're supposed to be where everything is uncovered. All right? So it's, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. It's an individual walk with God. All right? We're going to take a rapture in a group. But there are levels of understanding that you can come to or you can't come to. One of the two. All right? Where were they? And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. All right? For if these things be in you, I-N, we're in 2 Peter 1, in you. All right? And I know y'all and nobody came late, but let's try to start about 5 or 10 minutes before, because if you don't, we just sit in here and yak and talk about the world and get all that on our mind. And Brother Dale wants them to be in their Sunday school class and nobody out. So let's just kind of keep it quiet a little bit, if you don't mind. And you can talk about grocery shopping and whoever you saw on the internet outside or somewhere. But let's just kind of keep it to where we start thinking about God a little bit sooner. Because it's not... Humanly, we're not like a light switch. I'm not, so I know you're not. I have to start. That's why the Bible says, meditate on me. Meditate. In other words, just kind of get up in the morning like I did with this. I didn't really sit down and go, well, I'm going to use quote this and this, but I had a line that I'm trying to go down. Same way with Dad. Dad's got a line he's trying to go down. All right? And then the Lord may move that line over. All right? But still, it's a meditation of even just driving from home to here, 8 minutes. You can get a sermon or something that you need to say to the people, and I believe it's what God, working on both ends, if somebody had a question, God would give an answer, all right? Because we go different ways, and we go, why do we do that? But we know it's what, God knows we don't. For if these things be in you, verse 8, in you, not on you. See, it can be on you. It's like Sister Frieda was asking last night. She said, Brother Brown said there's a difference in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and a new birth. That's exactly correct. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life on your spirit and die and go to hell. Joel said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So there's an anointing all over this world. You say have the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. It's what Brother Brown, he preached anointed ones at the end time. When he preached anointed ones at the end time, he said they're anointed with the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they're false inside. Right? That's what we're contending with right now. That's not a future event. We're contending with that right now. All right? Because you can be sanctified, anointed, sanctified of God, and die and go to hell. Judas did, right? I know I see some eyeballs popping out, but that's exactly the truth. You can have the Holy Ghost. That's a direct quote from Brother Branham. You can have the Holy Ghost on your spirit. You hear what I said? On your spirit every day of your life. Be religious. Come to this church. Sit here, think everything's all right, but you turn the word down one time, you're a bastard child. Absolutely. Why did God put Brother Brown through those experiences? So they would be forever imprinted in our mind that when we come to a point to where somebody's, everybody understand what she's talking about? All right, the Mishawaka experience where Brother Brown went and he met these Pentecostals, and one would stand up and prophesy and the other one would speak in tongues and one would interpret. And God met, and Brother Branham met the one. This was when he was just a young boy. But he still had that gift. So he went over and contacted this man, genuine Christian. He went over and made contact with the one that was doing the interpreting. What? Living with another woman, had 2 children by her, and was married. Living in adultery and doing what he was doing. All right, so, and remember that stunned Brother Branham a little bit until he went up to the cave. Remember, God come through with the wind and blew it to Hebrews, 6 or 7? It says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. All right? So that's what Joel said. Joel said, I pour out my spirit on all flesh. So all flesh has an anointing. Even a sinner has an anointing. How do you think they... you are a sinner if you're not born again. They're not even counted in that. See, you got your people that are total unbelievers that's never had his name put on a book except the book of sinners. Remember we went through the book of life and the books? There's books inside of books. Judas's name was put on a book as a believer. Then it was erased out because of what he didn't go on with God. He stopped. Right? Same way with you and I. That's what I say about coming to church and doing things, doing Christian things. You don't have to live here, but I promise you one thing. This is where I get my fuel. Right here. I get my fuel right here. I'm not going to go to a candy store and get gasoline. I need gasoline for my car. So I stop at a place that's got gasoline. All right. So these things are required. They're required. Like I said, goats are hard-headed. I've got three of them. I watch them every day. They would absolutely kill themselves to get through that wire to get to something else that they've already got in their pen because it's over there. But now remember, a sheep has to be led. All right, and that's what we want to be. We want to be sheep. But now Brother Branham will say in a minute, I think I got that quote where Brother Branham said, sheep manufactures wool. They don't have to stand there and go, produce wool, produce wool. No, they just eat. They eat. And then what they eat produces what they are. All right? Same way with you and I. The gospel to me is now is just more simple than it ever has been, even having revelation more than I had, you know, several years ago. It's just become more simple that truly the Bible says that the Godhead can be explained by the things that we see. And here that we see that, and I had read this many times in verse 3, where it says that all things pertain unto life. What? That's not just your alive. It's your life. The life you live. And godliness. What? Here, you got to put those two together. It's like I say on Wednesday night. Brother Bram said the book is sealed on the front and the back. But it better be the same seal on the front as it is on the back. People see you coming forward or walking away from you, they ought to see the same thing. In other words, you ought to bring what you do at work to here and not be ashamed of any of it. Any of it. If you are, there's a problem with a seal somewhere. Okay? All right? That's what I mean. We got to have a checkup here. We all got to have a checkup. And if these things be in you, verse 8, and abound, not just be in you, but they abound. What does abound mean? Abundance. Overflowing. All right? You get a bountiful crop, then you got so much with it, you don't know what to do with it. So you give it to everybody else. Well, that's what these virtues are. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, like I said. He had no money. He had no way to get the person healed. But what he had inside of him, such as I do have, Peter says, I give I unto thee. Rise up and walk. So he had the amount of money in the checkbook to write the check with. Our problem is sometimes we write checks. There ain't no money in the bank. And what does it do, Brother Brown said? It bounces. All right? So now, and that's us, because God's checkbook never bounces. All right? Because when you start with this divine nature of God, God does give you a check. The prophet said he gives you a check with his name on it. Because you know what? He doesn't really trust you. Or is it that you can't trust yourself? Because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what you're going to do with it when he gives it to you. That's why I've said, and this will hit you one day, just like a brick, like it did me. God's no's are the best yeses you've ever heard. Because if he says no, if you say, God, I want to go down this line, and he says no, what happens is he knows what's going to happen to you if he says yes. And it will be a disaster. So if he keeps saying no, maybe he's wanting you to turn and go this way. And here's where his yeses are, okay? Because he knows and we don't. So it's not, this is not for his edification. There's nothing in the Bible to edify God. He don't need it or he's not God. It's for mine and your edification. It's for God not to believe in you. It's for you to believe in yourself. Okay? You to believe that God's with you and that God's going to, and we know it's God doing it. But it's a, both of you are in there. You have a choice. You have a choice. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's exactly the truth because I believe Abraham was going to kill him. I believe he was going to kill him. And I believe God knew he was going to kill him or he wouldn't have put that angel there to stop his hand. Because that angel stopped his hand and I'm pretty sure that hand may have been coming down. And he grabbed that thing and said, no, wait a minute. Abraham, now I know. Now, God don't say, now I know. How can somebody all-knowing say, now I know? He's saying, Abraham, now you should know that I'm with you. And whatever I say I'm going to do for you, you're going to believe it. You know, that's why he was the father of our faith. He just believed. Abraham just believed. Had problems in his life and all, but still he believed. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you. They will make you act this way. All right? That's what the Bible says. They'll make you act like this stature of a perfect man. All right? That ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Not physically, but spiritually. All right? You're spiritually blind. And cannot see afar off. What's afar off? Revelation. How can you get revelation if you cut God off? You can't. God's always moving. If we stop, then we backslid. All right? And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget where we came from. And God's got to remind us. Wherefore the rather, brethren, I don't want that. I am postponing. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, you shall never fall. Wow. What a promise. If you do these things. And I'm going to use Sister Frieda for an example because she don't mind. Being on a diet, you got to be on a diet all the time. I said, Frieda? She said, it ain't working. I said, you doing it 100%? No. I said, then don't blame the diet. Blame the person. So that's saying this right here. This is a promise that if you'll do these things, take this prescription, you'll never fall. Now, right there is a promise, and I wrote right there a promise in my Bible. Right there, promise. But look how you're going to get it. I haven't read this before. I've always stopped. But listen to this. As we go up, we're going to read a little more. Verse 11. For so an entrance, or a door, shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Five folds of it. You cannot get these virtues and have them working in your life by yourself. Peter didn't. He had Jesus Christ, Almighty God, for 3.5 years teach him these virtues. And when he got the Holy Ghost, boom. They became Holy Ghost virtue. Because Peter didn't have a lot of patience when Jesus was around. He liked to cut people's ear off and go to fighting and, yeah. But now, here he's not. Why? He was on this side of born again and this side of born again. Okay? But being born again, now what does Peter say? Being born again by the incorruptible word of God. So we know what Peter said. An entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So how are you going to get these virtues? Not by yourself. Not sitting at home. Not reading Greer's Almanac or Charles Stanley or Joel Osteen. I mean, my God, people, how can you talk to a man? Joel Osteen says, I don't preach on sin. That's why he's got 15,000 people in his church. If he start preaching on sin, he'd have about 15. Sin's our problem. I believe I got it in here. Brother Brown says, sin means miss the mark. Sin's not smoking, drinking, cussing, running around with women and all that stuff. It's unbelief. It's not believing in what God said. So now let's read this. Brother Brown goes to Hebrews 10 and 5. Now we're going to talk about the tabernacle. Now tabernacle is, of course, a place where we go to rest. Now get freshness and so forth, like resting from sleep or so forth. Now Hebrews 10 in the 5th verse, Paul brings it in. Wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice, that's Christ, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. What is the tabernacle now? A body. God tabernacling in a body. Now do you really believe that? Because you better. Or you stop right there. God wants up high. When he came down on the mountain, even a bullock or cow touched the mountain, he must be killed. God is holy. Last evening, when those angels covered their face, holy seraphims with holy faces, don't even know what sin means, and they have to cover their face. All right? Got it? In the presence of God, cover their feet in humility. Now, holy God could not condone sin, so nothing could touch the mountain. Now, you know what he's talking about? Where Moses told him to bring, he said, bring the children of Israel back to this mountain, and I'll speak to them. All right? Then God was made flesh and dwelt among us in the form of Jesus Christ, his Son, his creation. Then that Son gave his life, and the blood cell of God was broken, that the life might come out of the blood to us. So he's transferred whatever he is to us. Because that statue of a perfect man, that is, that's Jesus portrayed that when he walked on earth. Right? Through that blood we are cleansed, and now our blood, our life, which came by living through sexual desire, brought our life in the world. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, changes our nature, by sending upon us the Holy Spirit. Then we become into the divine nature of God. Then we become a dwelling place for God. Jesus said, at that day you'll know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. So you see who's in you? The very Creator. Know how that God is in his church. The church is now supposed to take the place of Christ, carrying on his ministry. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Yet a little while in the world seeth me no more. Yet you shall see me. Now, where are we going to see him at? Where are we going to see him at? In each other. Okay? In each other. See, the world, that's why I said it's going to be a secret. I was telling the brothers, they were talking about the coming of the Lord and you know, when the rapture and all these things. When we get out of here, it's all going to be a secret. Nobody's going to know about it. Nobody. All right, it's a secret catching away. Because where is Christ? Christ is only in the bride. Indwelling. You got me? Indwelling. In here. That's why it says in the Bible, in. If these things be in you and abound, not on you, because you can have an anointing, like I said. You'd be anointed for a lot of things. There's a lot of anointed preachers around, but they're false because of what they speak. All right? Where was I? There it is. Even in you to the end of the world. See, there it is, carrying on his work. But look, you notice here, he said first, got to have what? Faith. And a brother came up to me, might have been Sunday, and he was real honest, and he said, I don't have faith for everything. And I can, that's the first place to get. That's the first place to get is just say, I just don't have faith for that right there. Well, okay, then let's work on that right there. Alright? And we all, obviously we're here. We're still here, so there's something we don't, some of us don't have faith in. That's why you need a fivefold ministry to tell you five different angles of the same story. Not five different stories of five different stories. I mean, five different stories of the same story. No, you get five different angles, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's four angles that are totally perfect of the same happening. All right, so the same way you get with a fivefold ministry. But a fivefold ministry, how many times has Brother Dale preached on, I don't know, just marriage and divorce? But that's a hard one, but preached on a new birth. And then a preacher come in and preach and just say one little word or one little phrase, and you go, oh, that's what that means. And Brother Dale's been hammering it for 6 months. You needed that because you know what? That's why God gave you a fivefold ministry, because he said he gave some apostles, some prophets. That means he didn't give everybody prophets. Only a certain amount of people can handle a prophet. Only a certain amount of people can handle this. Certain amount of people can handle that, right? He gave some. But all that some is the body of Christ. And you can maybe understand something a little bit more from a teacher. A lot of people like a teacher because he can slow down, he can break the things down for you. But some people like an evangelist. Because you have, let's just be honest. If evangelists really do something for you, then you got problems in your life. A lot of people are shaking their head, and that's exactly the truth. Because an evangelist will stir up the emotion in you, which is good, it's of God. stir up the emotion in you and get you to looking at your life or looking at something here or looking at something there, right? And get you under conviction. Where a teacher will take somebody that doesn't have a lot of problems, sure, we all got problems, but not as much as the other. And I don't like to use the word weaker, but Brother Brown did call them weak Christians. Some Christians are weak. That's why they're at the bottom of the pyramid down at faith. As you go up higher, you develop more, you get more faith. Because you never lose that foundation. He'll tell you in a minute if we get to it. He never lose that foundation of faith. You go right back to that faith every time you need something. Because you got to have faith that you got virtue. You got to have faith that you got knowledge. That's why it says add to your faith. And that's why I read that, add to your faith virtue. And the Bible says to virtue knowledge, but I didn't add it in. I'm reading between the lines. Between the lines says add to your faith. Because if you don't have faith for knowledge, right there's where you stop. This is just like Jacob's ladder. Climbing up to God. And that's what we're doing. We're climbing up to God. But we notice and see that having faith, we have people that are weak Christians. So you take somebody like an evangelist, and I want to be real honest with you. I know Brother Ram said it. Sometimes I have a hard time believing that. Brother Ram said, every time you go to the altar, you get weaker. And the way he said, every time you go to that altar, you get weaker and weaker and weaker. He wanted you to sit in your seat and believe it. That centurion walked up to Jesus and said, "Sir, I got a problem." Right? "I got a person sick in my home." Jesus said, "Well, let's go." He said, "No. You just speak it now. And whatever you say, that's what'll happen." Well, see, that he had faith in that. Never had to have. The Bible says, "Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." But the Bible also says, "Speak to the mountain." Not lay hands on the mountain, speak to the mountain. But remember, you got to have something to move the mountain in you first. Or your check's going to bounce. All right, so we see that how we do have faith for certain things. Certain preachers come preach a certain thing. But teachers, because Brother Brown said teachers positionally places you in the body. Well, a lot of times teachers doesn't preach conviction so much. They're the ones that take the ones that are already established in the gospel and carries them further. Okay? And that's just the gifts that you have to deal with. I mean, some people go to sleep on a teacher, but they won't on a evangelist or a pastor. Because sometimes they just can't understand. But if an evangelist is here and you like them, you'll come to church on Wednesday night when you don't come anymore to listen to Brother Dale. Hello. But that's the truth. Why? Because you have a contact with that person. And that's okay. But what it is, you have faith in what that person says. Right? So you have a connection. So you got to have five folds of it. You got to have apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. You got to have all that. All right? To help us get up the statue of a perfect man. Because an entrance has been made, ministered to us. But first, we got to have faith. If you don't have faith that you got to come to church every Sunday and listen, that's why I said you're either backslid or lost. There's no in between. Backslid or lost, one or two. It's not me to judge. But notice here, he said, first we have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly love. All right, brotherly kindness, and then add love. Let me read this over again. I wanted to read it the way he reads it. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness charity, which is love. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch what he says next. Now Peter is outlining something here for us that how to what? How to get it. How to get there. Peter is outlining something here for us that how to get there. All right? So, that's why I said Wednesday night, and I hope I didn't offend people, but see, this is old news because Peter had it. Peter had it working in his life every day. Working in his fish department or whatever it is, you know, and And all, he had these virtues working in his life, all right? And Peter, there's no way Peter could tell us how to get there unless Peter had it, all right? Now, I want to say this, that there are some people who have a portion of this virtue, knowledge, wisdom, patience, and so forth, that don't even profess to be Christians. Now, we're teaching Sunday school, and that's true. There's some people that have a portion of this that don't even pretend to be Christian. But that won't do it. It's like a blackbird trying to put peacock feathers in his wings to make him a peacock. He only disgraces himself. You see that? You only make a disgrace out of yourself when you don't do what God tells you to do. And it's so obvious. And I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. It's just obvious. You prove who you are. Be better just to stay the blackbird. When he tries to exercise these things without being a Christian, he's just simply all out of place. All right? It's like a sycamore tree trying to manufacture apples. It can't do it, although it's a tree, but it can't manufacture apples. It's like a mule trying to manufacture wool, trying to be a sheep when he's a mule. See, he can't manufacture wool. He can't do it. Wool is a gift to a sheep. These are gifts to the individual, not to a mule. All right? Well, I can eat like a sheep. I can do this like a sheep. And no matter what you can do, you've got to be a sheep in order to have wool. Let me stop here a minute. The sheep doesn't manufacture wool. He has wool because he is a sheep. A lot of people trying to say, well, I'll try to get good. See, that's what I don't want us to do. We say, well, I'll just try to get good. You can't do that. A sheep doesn't, it isn't asked, isn't expected to manufacture wool. It bears wool. And it does it because it's sheep. And when you're a Christian, you just bear the fruit of the Spirit. You don't manufacture it. You don't try to make it up. Don't make yourself something you're not. That's why the Brother Dale always says, I wish to God I could make everybody unbelievers. Because we get a thing in our mind that we're a believer because we've been in the message 37 years and we do this. What's that got to do with it? It's this right here. It comes right down to your life. And you're the only one that's with you 24/7. You and God. So, don't think you're fooling anybody. You're sure not fooling God. Don't make yourself something that you're not. You just become what you're supposed to be. And then it takes care of itself. Have you heard people say, well, I've joined church. I really ought to quit this line. You're trying to manufacture something again. You can't do it. So there's no need of trying. No more than a mule can make himself have wool. He can't do it. Now, that's what he's talking about, manufacturing Christianity. What's going to happen is, this is manifesting time. And we'll go now, and we'll finish up later, or next Sunday. Somewhere along the line, God's going to test your born-again experience. Not for his purpose, but for yours. And if you're not, you know what? Then that's good, because you know what? God's calling you. At least he's trying to get you to see something. If it bothers you, then it's God trying to call you into the family. Take it an honor that God's bothering you about your new birth. Because you know what? If he's not, then you're not a child. Right. 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 Well, if these things be in you and abound. Yes. Abounding in you. Not bouncing.
Maybe, brother.
Thank you, man. Good to see you, babe. Bless you. Oh, yeah, I got to get the camera. Hey, bless you. Got it? Go ahead. I'm going to leave that on. Unrecord this.